In Gethsemane, chapter 78. It is night in Jerusalem. It has become calm in this large, busy city, wherein thousands of additional Passover celebrants are now lodging. All these people have retired and gone to sleep. The Jewish capital is peaceful and quiet. Later in the night, the moon rises and casts its faint rays over the houses and along the deserted streets. Deserted? Surely not. A few men can be seen walking through the sleeping city. They leave the city through one of the many gates and descend the hill upon which Jerusalem is built. Between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives lies a dark valley. The brook Kidron winds through this lowland. Because of this brook, this valley sometimes is called the Valley of Kidron. A garden is situated on the other side of this brook, at the foot of the Mount of Olives. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. Large, massive olive trees grow there. These pedestrians, numbering 12 men, go over the brook Kidron and direct their steps toward the entrance of this garden. Who are they, and what will they do in this nightly hour? Ah, you know who they are, don't you? And these men are the Lord Jesus and his disciples, who have just left the Passover chamber. Jesus is on the way to Gethsemane. Bitter suffering awaits him there. Besides, he will be captured there. He knows all this. Still, he goes onward. Jesus does not flee from this place. No, he purposely goes to this quiet place. Do you see that he freely took upon himself this grievous suffering? Centuries ago, King David walked through this same valley when he was forced to flee from his son Absalom. Now the great son of David also walks through this valley of Kidron. They come to the entrance of Gethsemane. There the Lord Jesus leaves 8 of his disciples. "Sit ye here," he says to them, "while I go and pray yonder." The disciples do not think this strange. They were accustomed to this from their master. This happened so often in the past. The Lord goes further into the garden with 3 of his disciples, namely Peter, John, and James. These 3 also were with him upon the Mount of Transfiguration. Do you still remember that? Now, too, they are taken along a little way by their master. On this night, the full moon sheds its light in the city and at the entrance of the garden, but almost complete darkness prevails under the dense foliage roof of the olive trees, for the dim moonlight cannot penetrate through the leaves. Not a single sound breaks the profound quietness which prevails there. Silently, these 4 men walk further into the garden. Suddenly, Jesus says with a soft voice, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." They must not only watch, but they also must pray. Pray. So the Savior says seriously, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." What does this mean? The Lord Jesus knows what is going to happen during the night. The enemies will come to capture him. If the disciples will watch, that is to say, if they remain awake, they undoubtedly will hear the noise of the approaching band and in that way be prepared. But if they are sleeping, they will be taken by surprise. For this reason, the Lord tells them to watch and pray. Pray for strength and wisdom for the difficult hours which are coming. After the Lord Jesus had said this, he leaves these three disciples and goes further into the garden. We read in God's word that he withdrew from them about a stone's cast, thus as far as one can throw a stone. And there in this quiet darkness, the Lord Jesus became exceedingly sorrowful and sore amazed. Amazed? Why? Now you must be very attentive, children. By sin, we have offended and angered God. By sin, the curse and the wrath of God lies upon all mankind. The Lord Jesus had no sin himself, but all the sins of his people were laid upon him. They were imputed to him. This means they were reckoned to his account. He took the guilt of his people upon himself. That is why the wrath of God also rested upon him. He felt the wrath of his Father burning in his holy soul. He bore the punishment of sin here, not because he deserved this punishment, but in behalf of his people as their surety and Savior. Oh, boys and girls, I cannot tell you how severely the Lord Jesus suffered in Gethsemane. No words can describe it. Profound reverence should fill our hearts when we begin to discuss this portion. Hellish terrors were in his soul. The Lord Jesus was not in hell bodily, but he did suffer the terrors of hell, and he bore this wrath of God so that his people would be set free therefrom eternally. Besides, the enemy is waiting to seize him in the quiet darkness of the night. The enemy? What enemy? Can it be the Pharisees? No, not them. Is it the Romans? Oh no, there are no Roman soldiers there. But Jesus is waylaid by the prince of darkness, the devil. He is a far greater enemy than any other. Jesus came into this world to defeat the devil. The devil continuously attempted to prevent the birth of the Son of God. He did not succeed. Jesus came in God's time and was born in Bethlehem's manger. But immediately Satan stirred up Herod, who commanded all the little boys in Bethlehem of 2 years and younger to be slain. He hoped Jesus would be among them. It failed, because when this cruel murder took place, the child Jesus was on the way to Egypt. When Jesus became 30 years of age, the devil tried to allure him to sin. This happened with the temptation in the wilderness. And now, the prince of darkness again waylays the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He shows Jesus the terrible suffering which is coming. The Lord will be ridiculed and insulted. Rough fists will hit him. Cutting scourgings will rip open his back. Yes, he will be nailed upon the accursed cross. What a dreadful bodily suffering awaits the Son of God. Is it any wonder the Lord is exceedingly sorrowful and sore amazed? You must remember, he was also a person with a body as we have. We do not like to suffer pain and sorrow, do we? Oh, the devil attempts to discourage and prevent Jesus from fulfilling this terrible path of suffering and death. The Savior had to go through a double soul's agony. On the one hand, the wrath of God burned in his holy, pure soul. On the other, he was attacked and terrified by the prince of darkness. Behold, the Lord Jesus falls upon his knees in great distress and prays. O my Father, he pleads, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. With this cup, Jesus means this dreadful suffering. It is as if he says, if it is possible, do not let this terrible suffering come. Is it because the Lord does not want to suffer? Does he draw back from it? If that were true, the devil would have been victorious. Then it never would have been possible for anyone to be saved. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, David, and Elijah, yes, all the saints of olden days would be eternally lost. Does the Lord Jesus pray for that? Does he refuse to merit salvation for his people? No, for you must read what else he prays. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt, Jesus says. Boys and girls, the Lord Jesus does not draw back. No, he is willing, and he shall bear the punishment of sin for his people, not forcibly, but willingly. Therefore, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. But the dread and the agony is so great, he no longer can endure it in this solitude. He returns to the three disciples whom he had left in the garden. No one likes to be alone when he is in fear and sorrow. The Lord Jesus is also man. Therefore, he goes to his disciples in this terrible agony, and when he comes to them, they are sleeping. In this is fulfilled that which the prophets had foretold, namely that the Lord Jesus would tread the winepress alone. This means he had to suffer alone. No one was permitted to help him. He even had to do without the comfort of his disciples watching with him during these grievous hours. Peter, James, and John are sleeping. Listen, the voice of the Savior rings out seriously. Simon, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? It is as if the Lord Jesus says, Peter, you would defend me. You would give your life for me. And do you sleep now? Yes, Peter and the other two disciples are sleeping. With these words of their master, they awaken, but only for a short time. For when the Lord Jesus returns to seek solitude, they again fall asleep. By renewal, Jesus feels the wrath of God burning in his soul. Satan opposes him, and the hellish terrors again descend into his pure soul. Large drops of perspiration come upon his brow and fall to the ground. For the second time, he kneels in violent soul's agony and prays, Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Once more he returns to his three disciples. Are they watching with their master now? Are they comforting him in his exceeding soul strife? Oh no, they are sleeping. Jesus may not receive any comfort. He must carry the full wrath of God. His disciples awaken for the second time and are ashamed. But they are so terribly sleepy, and they cannot keep their eyes open. They are not able to watch with him, for they are fatigued from sorrow and care. The Lord Jesus withdraws himself for the third time. Now the agony and strife increases to such a height that his sweat is as great drops of blood. He creeps over the ground as a worm. Here is fulfilled what we read in Psalm 22, I am a worm and no man. With these words, David prophesied this would happen. No one ever sweat blood, but the soul suffering of the Savior is so great, it causes great drops of blood to fall upon the ground. Luke writes that he was in an agony. The Savior underwent this terrible suffering out of love for his people. We hear his prayer for the third time. Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. Each of the three times he adds this to it, thy will be done. Jesus prayed this prayer as man, but he submitted himself completely under the will of his Father. In this, the Lord Jesus did not sin. He could not sin. No, devil, you will not be victorious, even though your attacks upon the Prince of Life are ever so violent. Jesus does not shrink back. From all eternity, he took upon himself to merit salvation for his elect, and he will accomplish it. He will bear the punishment of which his people have made themselves worthy. Suddenly, an angel descends from heaven, and this angel strengthens the Lord Jesus. You can read this in Luke. What did the angel do? Did this heavenly messenger lift up the Lord Jesus when the Savior crept in the dust? Did he dust the dirt from his clothes? We do not know. The Bible is silent about it. God's word only says, the angel strengthened him. And then, the devil leaves him for the present. The devil lost this conflict. Jesus is victorious. The terror also leaves Jesus. He becomes quieter. He becomes more calm. The unbearable soul distress goes away. Jesus goes to his disciples for the third time, but this time he is not driven by fear. Now he is calm, and the disciples are sleeping for the third time. Sleep on now, the Savior says. He means you need not watch anymore. The conflict is past. However, the enemy is nearby. Their master warns them of this. Behold, he says, he is at hand who doth betray me. Rise up, let us go. The disciples awaken and stand up. They do not know what they should say to Jesus. Silently they follow their master as he returns to the entrance of Gethsemane, where they had left the other disciples. Oh, boys and girls, I have attempted to tell you something of the dreadful sufferings of the Lord Jesus as the consequence of sin. God shall punish sin as severely as that. It will be as terrible as that in the place of damnation. You must keep this in mind. The Messiah did not suffer for every person. He only took away the guilt and the blemish of sin for his people. If you die unconverted, you yourself must bear the wrath of God because of sin. Hellish terrors will fill your soul forever and ever. Poor unconverted children, may you realize what it is. Probably you play with sin now. Now you laugh about it. But soon, with death, you will laugh no longer. You will wail from terror and horror, but it will be too late. God's people are delivered from the hellish terrors. Their king, Their Savior did everything for them. The Roman Catholics say the Lord Jesus was in hell, but this is not true. He was not in the place of hell with his body, but he felt and bore the hellish terrors. Remember this well. Indeed, the privilege would be great if you, by saving faith, would learn to know the Lord Jesus as your surety and Savior. Yes, it is necessary, and it is indispensable, shall it be well for eternity. Ask often if the Lord will make room in your hearts for the Savior by the operation of the Holy Spirit. Ask if God's Spirit may uncover to you your guilt. For if you die outside of the cleansing blood of Jesus, the smoke of torment will go up from you to all eternity. This will be exceedingly dreadful.